We're here with the hardest working man in sports. That's Kevin Harlan. He'll be calling the Broncos game on Sunday. Kevin, first, just your thoughts on this week's matchup.
Well, the injuries for the Broncos obviously are something that's going to be, I think, one of our main storylines. And I don't know how you can get around it. The loss to an 0-5 New York Giant team the week before will be also be something we're going to discuss. But there just seems to be a resiliency with this team. I think if there was a wake-up call, it was last week. I expect them to play very, very well.
I know you called the Chargers game last week. This team has changed things around. What have you seen from them?
Well, a couple things. They've gone more to the running back, Melvin Gordon, who is an elite running back and one of the top guys from scrimmage in the league right now. They've started to use a young, talented tight end named Hunter Henry. And he is a guy that is emerging. He'll be taking the place of Antonio Gates when he retires. So they've realigned their offense a little bit. They're using more fullback. They're putting Rivers under center, which is better for the run game. And I think in midstream they saw themselves 0-4, and they said we can't go on the way we're going on. And they changed, and I give them credit for it. And they've looked great the last 2 weeks.
Should be a heck of a matchup. I got to ask you about your schedule. I mean, you do the Sunday game, the Monday night game, now the NBA starting. How do you do it?
Well, sometimes people don't think too well. That's a problem.
No,
that's a problem.
No,
I'm lucky that I've been given these opportunities, and it's just a lot of organization. In the beginning of the NFL season, it's all NFL, and I can get the two games Sunday and Monday done pretty easily. The NBA comes into the picture. Now I'm kind of divided down the middle. And so you begin to prioritize your week in terms of preparation. Am I as prepared as I was week one in the NFL as I am now with all these things going on? I probably am, but I'm probably working more right toward kickoff as opposed to going to bed Saturday night and having everything put to bed. Now it's kind of fast and furious all the time. But I enjoy it. I hate being away from home, but I love the games. And consider myself incredibly fortunate.
Probably hit the biggest shot in Cavs history.
They're going up. Oh, my goodness.
You had a tough call on Tuesday night with the Gordon Hayward injury. As a broadcaster, how do you handle that?
Well, I said what I saw, and I saw the broken leg, the dislocated ankle, and I knew it was bad. And then we chose to not say anything.
Hayward broke his leg. Hayward has broken his leg. Hayward has broken his leg.
To be quite honest, we chose to lay out. I thought we had some incredibly talented people in our truck, and they captured the faces and the emotion and the expressions were, you know, if a picture's worth 1,000 words, you have nothing to say. And that's kind of what that situation was. And, you know, we could only sit there and watch like everybody else and hope and pray for the kid. It was a horrific injury.
A tough spot for you there. On the opposite side of it, one of your more memorable calls of late was when the streaker ran out onto the field.
Somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50.
What inspired you to just go on with that?
You have gone from one end to the other here,
yeah,
haven't
exactly,
you, Phil?
Yeah,
I can see that. I was doing it with Kurt Warner, and it was in the third quarter, and we were both, it was a boring game. It was 21-0. There wasn't much going on, and this kid jumped on the field, and no one tackled him. I mean, you know, usually when someone runs out on the field, there are all these security guys just come out of nowhere and they just convene on the guy. And that was not the case. The kid ran like he was a player in a game. Then he reversed field, went the other way.
He's bare chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk.
And he was yelling and screaming and waving his arms and everything else. So I was doing radio and I said what I saw. Like,
yeah.
I said before, And that's what happened. I was a little concerned after, I will tell you, I didn't think it was any big deal. And then after the game, we're driving back to the San Francisco airport, and people go, people love that call. And I said, what, one of the touchdown calls? They go, no, the guy running on the field. So we had, I was a little, the league does not like us talking about people, but it was radio, and so you couldn't see him, so you had no idea who it was. And we had a little fun with it. The league was okay with it. My bosses at both CBS and Westwood One were okay with it. So it worked out okay. I don't know if I'll do it again, but for one night it was okay.
Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Like a guy like Al Michaels say, sometimes his rascal comes out in him. Is that just part of your personality?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, just think of the kind of person that runs out there on a field and has got, you know, the gendarmes are converging on him. And like, where's he going to go? What's he going to do? Well, he's going to go to the jailhouse for number one and probably never have a chance to go to a game number two. So anyway, it was fun to do and kind of one of the lighter moments of what was opening weekend last year.
Well, we're looking forward to your call on Sunday. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much. I'm from Kansas City. I grew up a big Broncos fan and the Chiefs fan. Our son goes to the University of Denver. So we have a lot of very close tie with the city and have admired the organization from afar. So it's always a pleasure to do the Broncos.